Welcome back to the Content Complete podcast featuring myself, Spencer, and Matt of Neanderthal Gaming TV, and the late, great Super Fistcake. May he rest in peace.
I'm dead. Why did you kill me? I don't understand.
We didn't kill you. It was an unfortunate accident.
But I don't... But how?
May you rest in peace.
Oh, I guess, well...
Just rest in peace, man. It's not that hard.
I don't know how to peace. How to peace?
Every time I peace, it burns.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God. I just got that.
Oh, God.
All right, so what are we doing today? We're going to talk about what we just played recently, over the last week or so. We're going to talk about some... Should I go into all the topics specifically that we're talking about?
Not really. I just say we're going to talk about... I mean... We can say like we're doing. Like, we're going to talk about G2A and the Persona 5, and then give you a quick tip about
let's play in.
Audience retention.
Yeah,
and then if we have enough time, we'll talk about something else.
Oh boy!
So yeah.
All right, sounds good. Hey. Do you want to go first, Super Fistcake?
Sure. Quick shout out to Liftinger. He says hi. Hello, Liftinger. Thanks for coming back.
Yeah,
our man.
Welcome.
The man. The other myth. The other legend.
Or woman. We don't know. We don't know.
Oh, true. Shit. Oh, God. I just assumed their gender. Oh, no.
Oh,
God.
You fucked up now.
Oh, no. Tumblr's so angry.
Shit.
Oh, we're going to get ass blasted on Tumblr.
Story of my life.
Hey, all publicity is good publicity.
All publicity is okay publicity.
All publicity is publicity.
That's those are all true points. But,
but yeah, go ahead and hit us up with what you played.
Yeah. Really, I only played Resident Evil 7 this week. Getting pretty far. Like, I'm actually almost beating the game. I'm past the Saw area, you know, where you have all those traps and stuff with the brother.
Oh yeah.
I'm between that and the next boss fight, so that's I'm pretty close to being the game already. So probably this following week I'll be finished with that. And I can start a new video games in 5 minutes, which I just realized I need to start making the graphics for that. Shit! I don't have enough things to do. Let's see. Other than that, I watched that Split movie last night. Have you guys seen that?
Split?
Split.
Is that the movie about someone who has like split personalities or something like that? Or
yeah, it's a new M. Night Shyamalan movie. It's pretty good. I mean, I usually hate movies because I hate... going to a theater, like wasting hours of my time when I could just be playing video games or something.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this was actually legit. It was actually pretty cool. And nice. the most messed up thing about it is like, it has the theme of like, basically you can do anything you put your mind to. You can be anything you believe in, which is really weird for this like psychological horror movie. So
yeah.
It makes more sense once you actually watch it, but it's basically, that's the whole theme. It's like, you can do whatever you put your mind to.
Yeah.
The last movie I think we saw him produce was The Village. Not The Village. Visit. The Visit.
Oh, The Visit. Have you seen anything on that one?
I have not seen The Visit.
It's about a group of kids who go and see their grandparents, and then shit gets weird.
It's actually pretty good.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I've heard about that one.
It's actually, yeah, it's surprisingly like not bad. Even points where you would think, oh, this is really just strange. It kind of comes off like pretty well. Like it's just different. It's just a different type of movie because it's not really a horror movie, and it's not really a, I don't know how else to describe it.
It's like a thriller.
Yeah, it's a thriller with like a really actually interesting twist. I'm glad because, man, M. Night Shyamalan, he has either hit it or miss it kind of quality when it comes to making movies.
I think
movies.
He has like a 75% miss rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Split movie, he nails it out of the park, especially in like the last 10 seconds of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a huge spoiler, but basically it ties another movie in with this movie, like it's set in the same universe.
That's cool. That is really
and
cool.
It's going to come, and it's going to be like I think it's going to be badass. I think this next movie, if it's going to be about that, I think it's going to be a badass movie. Other than that, that's really it for me. I've just been playing some Resident Evil 7, kicking ass, taking names.
Live on twitch.tv/fistcake Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Yes, 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, man. That's a good job. I should hire you as my publicist.
Yeah. Well, you're our publicist, so it works.
That's true. Just, we suck at like publicizing ourselves, but we're pretty good at publicizing the other group.
Yeah, that's our dynamic.
Together, we make one okay publicist.
We're okay at best.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So what did you guys do this week?
I played and beat Ori in the Blind Forest.
Off camera.
I heard some good things about that.
Yeah, it was super good. Well, I was jonesing for Hollow Knight. But... Yeah.
I just love that phrase. Jonesing!
But we decided to make a series on that. So I waited, and I played Ori in the Blind Forest and beat it in like 2 days, 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 7 hours.
Dude, the intro to that game is fucking sad. It's like watching the beginning of a Pixar movie. It's like,
it's like watching Up.
Oh, jeez.
You're like, they're happy. That's... What? The wife is dead and he's a curmudgeon? That makes so much sense.
Yeah, it was really sad.
Okay.
But that was super good. And I tried to play Guacamelee, and that was okay. I didn't really like it that much.
He told me, he's like, it's no Ori in the Blind Forest.
You started the week up way too high is what happened.
Yeah.
And then...
And then this weekend, besides recording Smash, this weekend we recorded a non-Smash game for the channel.
What?
Hollow Knight.
What was it?
We recorded Hollow Knight. So Hollow Knight. Matt was like, oh man, I'm really jonesing for Hollow Knight. I'm going to play and beat Ori in the Blind Forest. Now I'm going to try to play Guacamelee. Fuck it, we'll just play Hollow Knight. So that's what we did. It features Matt playing the game and me tag along for the ride and voice acting all the characters.
All the characters, your range must be incredible.
It's,
you know, he has about a 1 to 2 range.
No, it's like at least 4 or 5 voices, right?
It's like 1 to 2.
There are subtle differences in between them.
Oh, okay. There are different dialects for each area. The green path, they have different dialects than the people on the other path.
The one issue that I have, because I feel like I do pretty well at voices on the spot, but I can never remember the exact intricacies of the voice when I go back to it.
They're very deep voices.
All of them. There's one of them that's very high pitched and sounds like the potion seller.
Complexity, you piece of shit.
Oh, okay, okay. No, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm trying to give you a compliment, piece of shit.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Yeah, what if you take a fucking compliment, dirty whore? God. Yeah.
But I honestly, when you play games that don't have existing voice actors, especially like RPGs or something like that, that's like my favorite part to do. I almost would rather if Matt plays one of those types of games so I can just focus on voice acting everything because I just like doing it.
It takes a lot of, it's like 90% of him, his being to voice act these characters.
I put my soul, I put everything into that. It's a performance. Like, I mean, you don't see me because we don't have a webcam for this particular series just because it would just get in the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm physically reacting.
he's in there throwing tables over, fucking breaking the chair.
I would if I wouldn't have to reset up my microphone every time. Definitely.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. That's fair.
That's the only thing holding me back. If we put me up with like a lav mic, you know what I'm saying? Just get me in a room with breakable objects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we watched some MMA last night.
What? But don't you hate anime?
No, not anime. MMA.
Oh, MMA. Oh,
mixed
sorry,
martial arts. UFC. Come on, dude.
Yeah, that's, UFC.
Sorry. Okay. I do hate
anime though. So.
I know you. That's why I was really confused for a second. Like, what?
Well, okay, Matt hates 98% of anime.
Yeah.
He likes animes that are like Berserk.
I like Berserk.
And Hellsing.
Berserk's a shit.
Yeah, I love Berserk, dude.
Oh, my God.
Berserk is so good.
I love have you played the new game? Berserk and
I haven't.
They kind of gloss over like his origin story.
Mm-hmm.
So like the funniest thing is like when they kind of like bring over the whole thing between Guts and Gambino. Mm-hmm. It's like... Guts killed Gambino because he betrayed him. That's all. There's nothing else to it. Definitely not like a whole like selling his body together. Yeah, no, nothing. No, he just betrayed him. Oh, well.
Wamp a wamp.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bampanada.
Like, Bampanada. That's a Hollow Knight thing. You have to watch the episode.
Oh, definitely. I will definitely watch that, yeah. That's hilarious.
But yeah, I like super serious anime. Not... You know,
basically, once you get to a scene, even one scene where there's like a weird chibi, like weird shit happens, Matt just checks the fuck out. The only reason why he was able to get through Berserk 2016 or whatever, the newer series, was because he'd watched the previous series. But there was that one character in there.
Yeah, that little weird chibi fairy thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Puck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really
that hurt.
That took everything in Matt's body. He's like, okay, just wait till the next scene without that character.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite thing to come out of that is like the picture of like, it's like a close up in the manga of like his face just like going full rage mode.
Because
he just got like he just got his sword and like he just encountered his first demon after like the whole incident.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's just like a close in of his like his face. And below that, like on the bottom text, is like a news ticker and just says, breaking news, man is too literally angry to die.
I think I've seen that.
Yeah, that's like my favorite thing.
That's perfect because that's literally the like that encapsulates like, exactly what it is.
Kind of what Guts is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's literally what it is. It's just like, what's he fueled by? Food? Mm-mm. Hunger? Yeah. No, just pure rage. All right. Yeah, no, I love.
What else did we play?
Well, we played Melee and Project M.
Oh, mm-hmm. We also have a slight announcement. Episode 600 will be the last episode of Project M.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Now, this is episode 600 of the main weekly series. There are more than 600 episodes, I think, at the moment because of our weekend ones that don't count towards the same number. I think we have like 70 or 80 weekend ones by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes. Episode 600 of the weekly main series will be the last.
And what number are you at now? It's like 500 something, right?
591.
We have like another week and a half or so.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any special plans?
We actually haven't talked about that.
Yeah, I've been coming. I'm trying to think of a couple things.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lift Inger asked the same thing. He's like, what comes after that then?
Well, we have Melee still, and we've been trying to do Melee, Project M, and Smash 4, but Smash 4 is taking kind of a back seat, unfortunately, just because we have those two as our priority, and then if we have time, we'll do Smash 4. But when Project M officially ends, then we will have the time to do Smash 4 more often.
Yeah.
Perfect. Cool.
Yeah, so that'll kind of take that place in a more permanent scenario.
It's more popular. Project M is dead.
Yeah, it
sucks too because it's such a good game.
It was just starting to get really, really popular with just the casual crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Right when basically Nintendo decided that they were going to back Melee and Smash 4 related streams and tournaments, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. they
you can't
stopped...
even stream PM on Twitch or anything anymore.
Yeah, they basically forced it where all Project M tournaments had to leave Twitch as an actual platform,
mm-hmm. and they can't be hosted at any events that Nintendo sponsors.
Yeah, so they can't even be at the same locations, so all the players can't be at the same locations. Mm-hmm. And because there, for a short period, people were going to like the side stream to play Project M and then coming back to play Melee or whatever.
Maywin, get the shit out of here, man. In the same month?
Yeah, this is a weekly affair. All right?
This is weekly.
You're going to get four times a month or more.
Yeah, this is like when you're married.
Yeah.
Would he be able to get more than four times a month? Are there more than 4 weeks in a month?
Well, I was saying like as far as streams, just general streams.
General streams.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You broke my brain. I'm sorry.
No, it happens.
I'm shutting down. Hold on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but now when you go to the Project M subreddit or something like that, which is usually like the hive mind of events, and you look over on the side part where they show the tournaments live streams and how many viewers it has, the most will have like 70, maybe 100 viewers.
Yeah,
and it's like kind of bigger, you would think more important tournaments, and it's just not enough people are watching. People are still like diehard playing it, but it's just a small group now.
Yeah,
as compared to what it was before. Even bigger Project M players have moved over to Melee or Smash 4 too, I think.
Yeah,
so
that's gonna suck for like the one guy in the world that's like, you know what, I'm gonna double down on Project M. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be the best Project M fighter in the world, and I'm gonna rise to the top, and I'm gonna get famous.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
then
he's probably like
now.
Halfway through. Well, I'm technically but like he's not gonna get any fame. Nobody's gonna like pat his back for it. So I'm like, oh, you won that one game that nobody plays anymore. Good job,
exactly.
And I'm sure that some people who still feel like Project M is still going would take a little bit of offense to our position on this, but it's the sad honest truth, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
you got to back out eventually. And I mean,
600 episodes. I mean, we made content for it.
Yeah, we have.
Like, we put
at least
work.
Like a little bit, yeah, just like a couple episodes or so, you know, no big deal.
We did our part, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we didn't want the scene to die.
No.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much it. Cool. I'm going to move on over to, you want to talk about G2A?
Sure. Yeah, let's get right to it.
Spencer, you want to hit us up with that G2A knowledge?
G2A knowledge? Okay, so here's what's going down.
You sounded really confused for a second. Well, G2A...
So basically, the situation with G2A is, if people don't know what
they're
G2A
like
is...
They're like a gray market key reseller.
Yeah, so if you want to buy a game and you want to get it cheaper than what it usually is at, G2A will have a lot of these crazy sales. And it'll be like 20% off, 50% off sometimes. And you're like, wow, why is it so cheap on this website but not cheap on others, on other websites or more official channels? And come to find out, basically, people will buy the game in other regions where it's cheaper and then put it onto the G2A market and sell it at a reduced price, but they're still making money off of it. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the way that G2A works. G2A is not the one that sells them. People come in and then sell their keys for games, mm-hmm. So they're just basically the marketplace where people go
and
do
that. They don't check at all how you got these keys. A lot of these keys are, well, not a lot, but probably
a good portion
of them are got through credit card fraud.
Yeah.
And all sorts of other back channels.
Yeah. So people will steal someone else's information, buy a bunch of copies of the same game, mm-hmm. and then sell those copies online for profit on G2A. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a good system. They don't have really any system to check to see whether or not...
If those keys are legit or not.
Yeah.
But they do offer for, you know, like $1.50 a month that if you get a bad key, they will, you know, try to help you out.
Yeah, they'll reimburse you or something.
But
you have to pay for that.
You have to pay for that.
Which is...
Is it $1.50 a month? I thought they had like an extra charge for each purchase is what I thought.
I've always seen
I
was going to say, I've always seen it as an added-on charge at the end.
Yeah,
they have like a monthly thing, I think.
Yeah, so I think you can get the monthly
G2A
thing.
Shield, right?
Yeah, it's called Shield or G2A Shield. Yeah. But I think you can get the monthly version, or if you don't want the monthly version, you'll pay a fee for each purchase if you want to, just like buying an electronic at Best Buy.
Okay, I got you.
Except
now,
they don't charge you money.
Yeah.
For a return policy.
Yeah, they don't charge you money for the standard return policy. Like every other group. Even Steam went over and finally changed their stuff over to be able to have a return policy that is a part of the product that they're giving you. It should be automatic, basically. So there's already some problems with that. Here comes along Gearbox, and Gearbox makes a deal with G2A to release a new version of Bulletstorm, a game that they had come out with a couple years back. Mm-hmm. And was it the full clip edition?
Yeah, full clip edition.
Yeah.
And so they were having this kind of agreement and sale going on with the game.
They would release it exclusively on G2A for a period of time.
Yeah, a short period exclusivity agreement to sell the game there.
Mm-hmm.
Total Biscuit, who is an internet personality for video games and is a critic who has quite a few followers, made a statement about how he was not going to support any Gearbox games because of their actions with G2A. Mm-hmm. G2A then contacted Total Biscuit back, and Gearbox contacted Total Biscuit back, and the very next day, and was asking him like, "Hey, I don't know really fully what you're talking about," and then
Total Biscuit laid down the fucking knowledge.
Yeah, he met with them multiple times over the period of 2 days, spoke with a bunch of the higher ups at Gearbox, went over exactly what was going on with G2A, and provided sources for their shady business practices,
mm-hmm.
and then worked with them to create an ultimatum.
Yeah, and we have the ultimatum right here.
And we can probably provide a link to this as well. And this is from Total Biscuit's Twitlonger, where he just kind of laid out exactly what it was and announced what the ultimatum was just before Gearbox, I think, officially did it for themselves.
Oh, shit. You got me first. Or you got first piece cake.
Yeah. So I don't know. Should I read what's in the ultimatum, or do we just want to talk
read
about it?
We should read what's in the ultimatum.
Okay. So it's very specific. And so basically, I'm not going to read the beginning portion of it, but here are the bullet points. So before Bulletstorm's Steam launch, G2A makes a public commitment to this. Within 30 days, G2A Shield, a.k.a. Customer Fraud Protection, is made free instead of a separate paid subscription service within terms offered by other major marketplaces, which is what we were just talking about. All customers who spend money deserve fraud protection from a storefront. To that end, all existing G2A Shield customers are notified by April 14th that fraud protection services are now free and they will no longer be charged for this. So that's the first requirement. And this is all on the basis that if they don't comply with these particular demands, that Gearbox will pull their agreement regarding Boltstorm being exclusive to G2A from the store and not go along with their current plan, which is this would be the company's first major exclusive game actually being sold specifically on their store. So it's an incredibly important event for them. So pulling this off, it's potentially damaging. So the second bullet is before Boltstorm Steam launch, G2A makes a public commitment to this within 90 days. G2A will open up a web service or API to certify developers and publishers to search for and flag for immediate removal keys that are fraudulent. This access will be free of charge and will not require payment by the content holders. And this gets around basically, okay, G2A, if you're not going to police your own stuff, at least allow the developers to go in and check the keys to be sure that they're not fraudulent, because they can tell if it's from another region or they can tell whether or not it was actually a legit purchase. The next bullet, and I think there's two more. So before Boltstorm Steam launch, G2A makes a public commitment to this within 60 days. Implement throttling for non-certified developers and publishers at the title, user ID, and account payable levels for a fraud flagging process. So they're kind of requesting that they also create their own process on top of allowing the developers to go in for theirs. This is to protect content providers from having large quantities of stolen goods flipped on G2A before they can be flagged. And the last bullet, before Boltstorm Steam launch, G2A makes a public commitment to this. Within 30 days again, G2A restructures its payment system so that customers who wish to buy and sell legitimate keys are given a clear, simple fee structure that is easy to understand and contains no hidden or obfuscated charges. Join the ranks of other major marketplaces. Unless they comply, then Gearbox will remove their agreement for providing Boltstorm on their store exclusively for any period of time. Yeah. And guess what happened?
They did.
Gearbox pulled their game because G2A did not make any statement about
any of it.
Any of it. They didn't.
They don't give a shit about where their keys come from. They don't give a shit about developers.
Yep.
They don't give a shit. All they care about is that green.
Yep. And so there are a lot of Twitch streamers and a lot of internet personalities who, in reference to games, who have sponsorships from G2A. And I can only hope that now, maybe if they were ignorant of these particular practices, that they are no longer ignorant at the anymore. And
I just don't understand how you can be in the scene and not know about how shady G2A is.
I can understand maybe 2 years ago when they were, you know, a little bit less.
They just started, and then they had like some beef with Tiny Build last year or so.
Mm-hmm. And that was a smaller developer. Yeah.
Yeah, like I can kind of say, like, still being like, well, I mean, that's not for sure. You know, it's not like, I don't know if they're completely sketchy. But the fact that they didn't even like make an announcement or like make a commitment or like anything.
Yeah, that means it pretty much just shows that they're not willing to try to clean up their act or anything like that.
And this is a major public display of distrust and just kind of airing out exactly what's going on, exactly what the intentions were. And it happened exactly the way that Total Biscuit and I believe Gearbox were expecting it to go. And I'm actually really happy that Gearbox pulled out like they said they would, because that's a very strong statement. Because Gearbox isn't going to lose too much on not having the exclusive deal. It would have been nice, probably, but the major loss is going on the side of G2A, and they're going to be punished for it by the market.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Liftinger says, well, if they get their funds from being the sketchy marketplace, then perhaps they don't have a choice: keep going or close up shop.
They could.
And he also asks, could they continue after cleaning up their practices? Which
they could go with.
They 100% could. Mm-hmm. They sponsor so many motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They sponsor major Dota teams. They sponsor major LOL teams. They sponsor so many people. They have, like, they're making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
And it's the easiest thing in the world. All they have to do is, like, wait a little bit. Like, hey, make sure this is verified and, like, you didn't use this with a sketchy credit card.
Exactly.
Like, wait a week before, you sell it, and then you're good to go.
Yeah, there should be a process in place, and they could just run the marketplace as it's advertised.
They could just do what the fucking Gearbox and Total Biscuit suggested, and they would still be making money hand over fist.
Yeah, because you can still sell keys. Like, if you end up getting, I don't know, extra keys off of something, or developers want to provide their keys for a cheaper price on this particular marketplace, they could. But as long as it's not from a questionable source, and as long as you're not taking advantage of people's credit card information and engaging in fraudulent activity, and these people are getting away with it with no recourse, there's nobody looking into it besides maybe the credit card companies.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like really like a year ago, I used G2A for like maybe a month because I heard about it. Mm-hmm. I had like 50 fucking guns of Icarus keys for some reason. Mm-hmm. So I sold like all four of them for like maybe $2. And I bought like a mystery 3-pack of games, which I don't even remember what I fucking got. That's how good the games were. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy. Like, I don't know if there's any other platform that allows you to sell keys as easy as they do. But
there's
like
Kinguin.
Okay.
They might be, you know, yeah. They might move up because of G2A's loss. You know,
yeah, probably.
If they take advantage of it from a marketing standpoint.
Yeah, if I was them, that's what I would be doing.
Invest in Gearbox, 100%.
Because all they would have to do is just basically pull a Sony, like what they did with Microsoft when they were releasing the Xbox One and the PS4, and just being like, our practices are such, and we have this in place, and we're a very honest marketplace, unlike someone else. So you should definitely check us out, and you know we're going to have this deal going on, or they can just do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. As easy as that.
Yep. So that's the Gearbox and G2A situation. Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And
I just wish it was a bigger publisher, developer, because Gearbox, what are they famous for?
They had their heyday with
fucking Borderlands.
Yeah.
Everything else they make is shit.
Yeah, they had Borderlands, and before that they made, I can't really call it an expansion necessarily, but they made Opposing Force for Half-Life 1. That was mm-hmm. one of the first things, I believe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've had their mark, but they're not like big in the public conscious. They're not like Bethesda or Ubisoft.
Or Rockstar.
If
Rockstar pulled this shit, G2A would be
That's like an atomic bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to see how this plays out a little bit farther down the road. And if there's any other major events or anything related to this in the future, we'll definitely be sure to talk about it to keep people up to date who maybe aren't in with that level of knowledge or events when it comes to the overall gaming industry.
Yeah, I would love to hear from G2A ever makes a comment, because I think a while ago, I don't know how long ago it was that like either, I think there was like a G2A staff member mm-hmm. that went to like a Tiny Build panel.
Oh, yeah, and he was like,
and it was like talking, he was mm-hmm. talking shit or something. I'll look it up real quick to make sure I got my facts right, but he said something. I'll look that up real quick. You guys stall for time. Go!
Okay, well, Matt, what did you hear about it?
What did I hear about what?
The guy going to the panel, like specifically just events-wise.
It went to like a little, like, I don't know, convention, and then I just heard about it. I don't know. I'm in the same box as Facebook.
Just enough time. They went to the GDC panel. Let's see.
Oh, GDC.
Yeah, with the, okay. It was
not a little convention. That, my bad.
No, yeah, it's the
Game Developers Conference.
Yeah.
Let's see. Lamaris Marcus, GTA was bound for specialists. Okay, from our perspective, yeah, I think, yeah, let me read this. There's more. So, yeah, the beginning of this article from Polygon, it's basically, it starts with a feud between them. Like, hey, like how G2A discovered there was like 400, or like how the Tiny Build sealed. Yeah, they found out there was like almost $450,000 worth of his company's games being sold there without proper knowledge of them being sold there.
Yeah.
So they were basically like, and during the panel, they talked about it for a little bit. And then somebody from G2A, Marius Marique, who said he was an outbound sales specialist for G2A, which isn't that like some kind of like a guy who like is just like on the phone and like sells stuff all day? Like
he's
like
he probably goes to places and peddles G2A's
outbound sales
Kool-Aid.
He probably goes to events like GDC and advertises them and talks about the service and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So at this thing, he speaks like he goes up and talks on the microphone. This is what Marius Marique says. Ladies and gentlemen, I am actually from G2A.com. I was directly involved with Alex's case, and I would like to dispel a few things. First of all, G2A.com does work with developers directly, and any one of you can email me. And let's address your codes, because I was handling your emails. You have provided not a single game code for us to validate the alleged fraud. And then the CEO, what's his name? Something Jesus. Okay. The CEO for Tiny Build, he says, you really going to do this at GDC? And that he was immediately shot down by the panel moderator and the panel sponsor. So, so basically some guy that happened to be there that was working for G2A was trying to talk shit. He's like, well, actually, we did our best. Like, no,
which you know is not true, because why wouldn't Tiny Build be able to provide, if they were able to check to see if there are $450,000 worth of their games on the site, they would have had to have been able, you know, in order to get that knowledge, they would have had keys to check with that to even get the knowledge. It's like chicken and egg. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
It's a requirement to even get to that conclusion.
Yeah, G2A is a... In summary, TL, semicolon, DR, G2A is a bunch of bullshit.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. So. And I hope that streamers stop, being sponsored by them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd pause.
You can't go into any
and
stream and it's not like, oh, look, buy shit from G2A.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy your shit, G2A. All right? Yeah,
fuck you.
I'm not going to do it. And you come to us, you want to sponsor the Content Complete podcast?
No, we're going to say no publicly.
We'll talk.
We'll talk, but you might have to change some things. We'll make an official announcement.
Yeah,
we'll
just copy and paste theirs.
Yeah.
Within 30 days, you have to be better. Mm-hmm. Signed, Content Complete.
Mm-hmm.
Asterisk next to better and just be like better.
Just do better. Just do good. Yeah. Stop being shit.
Just stop
do
being
good.
Shitty.
Yeah.
Just do good.
Yeah. They were honestly almost too good to be true kind of scenario when I first heard about G2A.
Mm.
It was too good to be true.
Yep. Turns out, man. Oh well. Bye bye, G2A. See you in hell. Do you want to talk about a quick little Let's Play tip for all you Let's Players out there?
Hell to the yes.
Well, I can give you the TLDR of this, but I will provide a couple links on here with the actual information. But essentially, in order to drive audience retention up for your videos, you should mention your audience a little bit more. Study says from the, let's see, channel management companies TubeBuddy and Hey.com teamed up for a report that studied the effectiveness of YouTube videos based on how often they said the word you in the first 30 seconds of runtime. The results are clear. Measured videos that said you in the first 5 seconds scored 66% more views than the videos that did not. And here's the shorter version of that article, too. Because somebody from, I believe, TubeTalk, aka VidPow, yeah, study by TubeBuddy and Hey.com, Dan Golden and Phil Starkovich, they have a 42-page PDF file about the thing. That doesn't just double the views. Actually, if you say you 5 times within the first 30 seconds of the video, you're supposed to get around 275% more viewers.
Allegedly. And basically, from what I can tell, the way this works is you're engaging almost a direct conversation, because there's a difference between making a video where someone watches it passively and they're just on the outside, kind of separated from the content. But I guess saying you brings the person in a bit more kind of subconsciously.
Yeah, so that kind of makes people feel like, hey, well, we're part of this.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah, somebody from TubeTalk said, the you on YouTube does not mean you as the content creator. The you on YouTube stands mostly for the audience that's watching YouTube. So yeah, if you say you, yourselves, y'all, as long as you're trying to include your audience within the first 30 seconds a few times.
And they feel accepted.
It's going to make them feel like, hey, oh, you're me? Oh, my stars. Oh, jeez.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
Oh, golly. TLDR, say you a bunch of times within the first 30 seconds of your video, and your audience will watch it for a little bit longer.
But don't be overboard with it, because then that's going to immediately push people away. Don't be like, all right, guys, welcome back. What's up, you? Don't be doing that.
Yeah, don't pretend you're watching the first 5 seconds of Yu-Gi-Oh! Or something. Yu-Gi-Oh! You. It's just a simple, hey, you guys, how's it going? How was your day? Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah.
So just address the audience.
Yeah. Sick.
And that's the quick little tip we have for the day. I don't have much.
And we'll provide those links. Make sure you can get us those links so we can put that in the description of the video when it's on YouTube.
Yeah, it's actually on our Skype chat if you want to look at that. And it's on the chat here on the Content Complete chat.
Bruh. The live stream.
The live stream, yeah. Perfect. All right, that's it for the Tube Talk thing. I think there's no. Yeah, let's see. The first 5 seconds. Yeah. That's pretty much sums it up.
Great. All right, so we can move on to Persona 5 and streaming. And I don't know a whole bunch about this, but Matt has something up here. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
All right. So Atlus, the people who make Persona 5, or who published Persona 5, I suppose, they don't want you to stream the game past the in-game date of 7/7, which is like a little less than halfway. And if you do, then they say they will fuck you up. They'll issue content ID matches, DMCAs. They'll do anything they can to make sure that you don't
profit, basically.
Yeah, you don't not profit, but just they say it's all for spoilers. They're like, we don't want people to spoil the game. I'm gonna, like, you know, quick like newsflash. Persona 5 has been out in Japan since the middle of last year, so I don't understand where they think that this shit is gonna like stop spoilers or whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah, I can just go to the Persona 5 wiki, and there's probably already information about all of it.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not really stopping anything at all. And it's actually really kind of crazy, because they can take action for that on YouTube when it comes to YouTube videos. But what are they going to? How are they going to moderate actual like Twitch live streams? Because I was listening to another podcast in regards to this, and they were talking about how the statement detailing this particular, position that they have was released, I think, the same day.
The day after it became available.
So people were already streaming the game.
Yeah. They had already been streaming it for 12 hours by the time the statement had come out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what the fuck?
Like, what are you supposed to do at that point?
Yeah, they don't say it anywhere when you're installing the game, or they don't tell you at all until whatever.
Like, what if you're not online? Like, what if you just download the game, you streamed it, but you're not paying attention to statements? You know, how are you supposed to know as a player and as a streamer unless you just happen to hear about the news? You know, if you don't put it in the game or make a disclaimer there, then how are they supposed to enforce it at that point?
Yeah.
Did you want to put the link to the statement?
And the statement reads like it was all Atlus Japan. So there's two branches of Atlus. There's Atlus North America and Atlus Japan. And the statement reads like, yo, this is from Atlus, you know, America.
Japan. Yeah.
America. We're like, we understand that streaming is like a big thing, but Atlus Japan, they own us. They don't want us to do, we have to do this, basically.
Yeah.
They're forcing our hand.
Yeah. They act like it was they were against it, but were powerless. Or in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just overall kind of just a bad situation, and it's not...
How are they... There's no way that they can enforce this...
Effectively. Yeah. And it's another example of developers like...
Mostly Japanese developers.
Yeah, mostly Japanese developers, such as Nintendo. They have another controversial kind of take on this as well, that they don't understand the bonuses or what's to be gained from allowing things like streams to happen, because some people might not have heard of the game before watching someone else play it, or somebody might want to hold back from buying the game before they see how someone else reacts to it, or, you know, there's so many factors in there that can ultimately help them. If the game's good, then it's only good for you to have that type of content out there from people who others kind of see as like their peers or like a part of the same mindset of them, so that they can have a validation for purchasing it or enjoying the game or getting involved in a community. But they don't do that, and they're openly stifling that kind of growth. That's my opinion on the subject.
Yeah, I mean, also even with like Nintendo, they have like certain YouTubers that they allow to play the games too, like Game Grumps, Completionist.
Yeah, they have like their
Pro
like
Jared
a
or whatever
form of indentured servitude when it comes to their content.
Oh, yeah, with Nintendo.
So they get like...
With Nintendo, with Atlus. I don't know what Atlus is thinking. Like, the only time that preventing people from streaming your game would help you out is if your game is complete shit and you don't want people to find out about it.
Yeah. And even then, that still doesn't help you.
And Persona 5 is being critically acclaimed. It's getting tens and nines all across the board.
Yeah, it's nothing but a good game from what I mean. Most of the Persona games are nothing but fantastic as an RPG, so I don't understand why now they're like, hey, stop it. Don't stream us now.
Mm. No, don't enjoy our game.
What is Cliffhanger? Isn't the cat out of the bag for all games? Why would this game be so special that they get to constrain public play? Well, it's because Atlus owns the game, so they get to say pretty much what can go out and what can't go out. Like, hey, stop it.
Yeah, it's ultimately their decision, even though there's lots of arguments with regards to...
fair use.
Yeah, fair use copyright, where if you're streaming the game or if you're interacting with the game and providing commentary over it, you're essentially...
Transforming the art.
Yeah, transforming the art and creating a different experience out of it than if someone were playing the game themselves, which is what the argument is for all Let's Playing. And they aren't understanding that, and they, I guess, don't understand what could be gained out of allowing people to do that. They basically see it as, oh no, they're just like broadcasting.
They're just making money off of our shit.
Yeah, they're making money off of our product, and they're broadcasting all of the events to all these Westerners who don't know that the game came out already, and all the knowledge is online and available to them if they just look it up.
We're really stupid.
Yeah.
Oh man,
we're really stupid.
The only reason I got Resident Evil 7 was because I saw two people play. I watched it get played through twice, completely through. And I was like, oh, that's a really good game. I have to go get it. So I went it and got it. And now I'm playing it and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing Liffinger says, the only thing I can think of is a weird way to get people talking about it. This game does not need press.
If it is, that makes no sense.
This game would have sold regardless of whatever. Like this, Persona 4 is like, it's cherished.
Yeah.
Like everybody loves these games.
And Persona 4, I didn't even know about the Persona series until that game came out. And that game even just more widely spread that particular franchise. Mm-hmm. So at this point, they're at such a high point when it comes to quality and just overall public consciousness about this game that they probably didn't even have to do hardly any marketing for the game.
The amount of money they spent on marketing is
I guess why it's such a huge blow to the fact that they're even doing this because people are so excited about it and they want to share the experience or talk about it and spread it even more, and then they're just being told no, you can't. And there's a lot of people who make their living off of streaming games, and if they really wanted to play this game, now if they can't stream it or if they can't play it on YouTube, then they have to play it in their personal time. But they have to put some kind of content out, and now they have to think about, well, am I going to play Persona 5, which is what I really, really want to do because I enjoy this game, or am I just not going to, and it's going to take a backseat, and I don't know. It's just...
All it is free publicity.
Yeah.
That's all...
Yeah, essentially.
Basically, we make pennies, right, to advertise your game for you for free.
Yeah, because we enjoy
it. Just because
it.
We like it. And then you go, you know what? How about no? We're not going to let you do that.
I got to go park the car somehow, and I'm all out of quarters. I guess I'll just take your entire channel down. Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got Konami, Sega, Nintendo.
Oh, fucking Konami. Oh, Jesus.
And Atlas Japan. They're so draconian in their ideals about streaming and...
Is Square Enix any amount like that? It doesn't seem like it is.
Not... Because they have, like, they've had moments.
Yeah.
But
overall, they've been pretty good about it.
They're not as... Like, Konami will fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
They'll
shut your channel down.
They want all of that ad revenue. You got two views, they want those fucking... Give me that .0000001 cent. That belongs to us.
Money.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, because Square Enix has Final Fantasy 14, and that's an MMO that I see that is constantly being streamed, and there's constant stuff still happening with that game. And they seem to embrace creating...
I wouldn't say embrace.
Well, okay. They seem to either be indifferent or they're cool with it.
They are indifferent to the, to the thing.
Yeah, I see people stream Final Fantasy 15 all the time, and that's like the latest game and all that fun stuff, so... Mm-hmm.
Maybe the boys over at Atlas can go and hang out with the boys over at Square Enix, and maybe they could have a little conversation.
I mean, it's a sad day in hell when you're going, Square Enix,
Well, it's not even that. It's just like Square Enix.
They're not being dicks.
Expected.
They're less of a dick than these guys.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's just going to punch me in the face, but this guy's going to punch me in the face and stab me. I guess I'll hang out with the guy that's just going to punch me in the face, I guess. God, it still sucks.
Yeah, but
they're like, we're going to claim your shit, but only half of it, and we're not going to try to take out your channel. You're like, okay, that's fair. Don't
it's your prerogative. I don't fully agree, but, you know, at least you ain't this guy.
I don't
guy.
Really have a choice.
Thanks for not killing me. Oh, yeah. Boy.
I'll go make more game content.
Yeah. So hopefully, maybe like within the next few years or so, I think probably they'll kind of cut back down on that. Because actually, not even like to really talk about games for a half a second, I think they, like, the Japanese government just allowed same-sex marriages or something. Hold on, I'll double check that real quick.
Which we all know goes hand in hand with game development.
Well, not with game development, just like the being more open to future ideas.
Yeah.
You know,
outside Western influence.
Game marriage is the same thing.
Yeah. Exactly.
They're one and the same. Sometimes I play a game and I'm like, oh, this is made by Japanese. Oh, like same-sex marriage. It's just like all enters my head at the same time.
You know, I thought by playing this game that just recently came out after they came out with that law, I felt more connected.
Mm-hmm. I was playing Melee today, and I was thinking, man, Marth and Roy could get married, and it's fine.
Yeah.
Thank God. Thank God Japan has let their same-sex thing go. I can't find it right now. If I find it, I'll say something about it. But
all right.
All
right. Just like, it just kind of shows, like, they might be a little bit behind on, like, the whole global scale things.
They need someone to sit their punk asses down in, like, a boardroom, mm-hmm. and then go over all the money and free press they get from streaming and making content on YouTube. It doesn't make any... You have, like, games like The Binding of Isaac and Hollow Knight, right? Those games fucking mm-hmm. blew up.
Yeah.
Blew up because of streamers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like, literally, the only reason why The Binding of Isaac is so big is because of streamers and Let's Players on YouTube. That is it. Yeah. That game would have faded to nothing.
Which is crazy, because the same guy also made Super Meat Boy, which had a similar thing. Mm-hmm. That game spread so far because people were making videos about challenging, like, friends, or like, you know, oh, the game's really hard. Oh, let's see if you can beat this, you know. Mm-hmm. That ultimately is what made that game become popular as well. So
yeah,
it's a legitimate thing.
He has Edmund McMillan is the guy who made The Binding of Isaac. He has an interesting thing on the indie game, the movie, like extras, mm-hmm. where he talks about they released a game. He wasn't even going to charge for it. And then his friend talked him into charging it for like $5. And then
Now he's rich and banging chicks 24/7.
And
his wife.
He was talking about sales, and he's like, yeah, no one bought it. Nobody bought it. Mm. And then he's like, oh, like a month later, I was getting like 500 sales. Then it just kept going and going and going. He's like, and then we looked it up, and it's like all these videos on YouTube, all these Twitch streamers. And this is back in like 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
When Twitch was still like just a
little baby.
And
a little baby Twitch.
And we were one of those streamers too.
Yeah.
We were part of that.
Oh, wow.
But
you guys are old.
Yeah, we should be successful.
Choices, life.
But it's just all the benefits of doing it. You would think, you just like any intelligent person would be like, yeah, that's a good idea. We should not hamstring these people.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll just come back to the Japan thing. They have officially recognized as same-sex couples as foster parents, which is just basically recognition of the same-sex thing. And this is only in the Osaka region, just to clarify.
Oh, well,
just to be completely clear that.
I know exactly
what
that is.
Earlier. Yeah, Reddit.
It's one of the islands.
Osaka, it's like, you know, right in the
kisser. Yeah. I'm gonna Osaka right in the kisser.
Oh, okay, Dad, settle down. The most dad of jokes.
I mean, that's a step at least. And actually, that's a very specific situation too. That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they let two gay men become foster parents, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Way to go, Osaka, Japan. Boop.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to Osaka, Japan, for being the first people same-sex marriages in Japan. Here's a punch in the face for you. There's some. There's some podcast about SEO stuff that all they talk about is like, and here's a quick punch in the face for you for talking about our channel. And they do that. I'm like, why would you want to punch somebody? I don't understand. Why punch him? But yeah, completely fucked that up. Whoops. Oh, well.
Yeah.
At least I'm better than most news channels and corrected myself.
Yeah. And you know what? You corrected yourself in a very short period of time.
Yeah, I tried. I tried to be efficient.
And when you said it, you even disclaimed that you weren't fully sure.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, cover all my bases. I don't want to.
Do we want to finish up with the Andromeda stuff?
Yeah, actually, you guys know a little bit more about that. I read a little bit about the Denuvo thing earlier, but.
The official pronunciation, Denuvo. Matt and I have this problem all the time. We always say Denuvo.
Denuvo? Denuvo?
It's Denuvo.
Denuvo.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. I'm going to name it, call it whatever I'm going to call it. What, are they going to hit me with a copyright strike? What are they? Konami? Get out of here.
Yeah.
NFL Gaming TV is officially shut down.
The entire Denuvo company came down on NFL Gaming TV. So if you're not aware, Denuvo is a form of DRM for video games. The form right now, yeah. Mm-hmm. Where basically companies will utilize their software and would you say hard-coded into the game?
It's hard-coded into the game, and what it does is it lists all of your specs, all your drivers, all your whatever, and then it cross checks that with their server, right? Yeah. And if your shit lines up, then they let you play the game.
Yeah.
If your shit doesn't line up, then you can't play the game.
And what they'll do is it'll check in like maybe once every day or once every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And so you not only have to worry about that happening, but you also have to worry about having your computer connected to the internet so that it can actually check, because the software will not allow you to play if it goes to check. And
I think it will, but it's finicky.
Yeah. Basically, you don't know which game that has it is going to work properly, and it's kind of nobody really knows how it's going to react. So it's best just to keep your computer connected to the internet so that it can consistently check to be sure that yours is a legitimate copy. I don't know too much about how that software affects how well the game runs.
They say that there's no performance hit, but there's been tests that say there is a performance hit. So usually DRMs will fuck the performance of games,
like
games for Windows Live or some other ones.
Ones but that don't exist anymore.
The big deal about this is that Denuvu was basically uncrackable.
Yeah.
Not cracked. Pirates couldn't crack it. Nobody could crack it.
Yeah.
And it was like that for...
almost a year.
Yeah, almost a year. Nobody could crack it.
Yeah.
So people put Denuvu in their game, then you got to buy that shit.
Yeah, 100%.
But then you're like a thing. You're like, oh, well, I wasn't going to pirate it anyways, but DRM is fucking stupid.
Yeah, and if it possibly affects the performance of the game.
Possibly hurts your game performance, then why would you support that?
Yeah. So here comes along, and really we're just explaining that to provide context for this recent event, and it's always kind of a big event in video games when one of these games is finally cracked. A particular game that came out very recently, Mass Effect Andromeda, was cracked in, I don't know if it's record time, but seemingly record time.
7 days after it was... 5 or 6 days, very short time, is less than a week, around a week.
Which brings up questions for how effective is Denuvu going to be in the future, and whether or not they're going to up the ante, or are they going to possibly come out with different software, because these games are getting cracked faster and faster. And there are large groups of people who are under the impression of basically, okay, I want to play the game first before buying it. And there are people that will work hard to get this done, either because they want the challenge of, okay, you say it's uncrackable, I'm just going to crack it, or if they want to.
That's basically what all these scene groups do.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about
about
pirating. They don't care. What they care about is cracking.
And pirating is another kind of conversation when it comes to advertising a game or properly working with the community that is a little bit interesting. I know that the developers of Hotline Miami, I think they even put a version of their game up on the Pirate Bay to be freely downloaded because people were already stealing the game anyways. And they're like, hey, guys, take the game, buy it or don't buy it. We're not going to try to get in the way. And then the game's sales basically skyrocketed.
I think that was for Hotline Miami 2.
It might have been.
And I think that's for because people in Australia couldn't buy it. So Devolver's official statement was, well,
pirate,
I guess. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talking about the Atlas thing from earlier, Devolver made a tweet earlier about their stream rules, about their Let's Play rules.
Oh, yeah.
Let me bring that up. It's basically spoil the shit out of it, play it hard, and stream it. That's their rules on how to play their games.
Devolver is a indie studio. They have a lot of really good, famous games.
Yeah.
They're 100% pro YouTube, pro streamers, pro
piracy
consumer.
Yeah.
I don't think they're pro piracy.
Probably not. I don't think I can say pro piracy, but they're definitely open, I guess. Obviously,
they're pro gamers and anti bullshit, like Australians.
Yeah, that works.
Rules for all that shit. So
yeah, that's actually crazy, man. You brought that in as a way to tie it in with our previous conversation seamlessly. Just like, look, Devolver Digital, and here's a topical thing that they just did in reference to our previous conversation.
I just got the touch. I don't know what to tell you.
Shined a light on it, Spencer.
I wanted to give him props.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that. That's what the after the show is for.
Yeah, I got
the
you.
The after party.
Yeah, after the party. The after party.
So that's the news when it comes to...
it was cracked, record time.
Yeah.
Fuck Denuvu.
Was it record? I thought Resident Evil 7 has a record time for like being 5 or 6 days. I know like Andromeda wasn't too close behind or too far from behind it, but like
apparently it's just getting easier and easier.
Mm-hmm.
It used to take 6 months.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It used to take a long time.
And now once these games get cracked, you know what happens? The developers just remove Denuvu.
Yeah. They literally just like,
they
oh,
just remove it.
Oh, it's cracked now, so people can just get it. So why even have it on there? So really, it's a way, if they crack the game, it's a way for the developers to have an incentive to remove the software, therefore possibly making a better experience for people who get the game legitimately even. Mm-hmm. Do they remove it in an update for already existing downloads of the game, or is it just all?
Is they push a patch and it's gone.
Well, there you go.
Huh.
But yeah. So
yeah, but other games do that too.
Yeah,
I think it was Doom, like Doom did that. I think
Doom, Homefront, Revolution. I wanted that game.
Who fucking
to be good.
Cares about that one?
Yeah,
yeah. Matt really wanted that game to be good. He, in fact, even once we played that game, Homefront Revolution. We kind of saw kind of how bad it was. I think you still put in like an extra 15 hours or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, like, at that point, it's like, well, I got to fucking do it now. I have the game. I have to play it. I'm like, what the fuck else are you going to do? I remember playing the first one, I think, a few years ago. That was terrible.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping for the second one to be good, but then I heard a bunch of shit. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not too surprised.
There are like a couple of things about the game that are like, oh, this is fun.
Well, what's great about it is that the developers are like, yeah, we rushed this out. They were under the gun to rush it out. Probably a Korean was holding it. And that's not a joke about Koreans. In the game, the North Korea and South Korea, they unite to take over the world. Okay? Storyline. That's lore. All right?
shut up.
So
stop giving me shit.
They keep pushing updates and they keep trying to improve the experience to garner goodwill for hopefully a good Homefront 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So hopefully they can get that figured out. And I don't know if they're going, if they have, or if they're going to come out with new, with updatable content basically to improve Homefront, even though it's not even really being played. But,
well, they have. They just released a patch like 2 weeks ago for it.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So,
did you not listen to what I just said? They keep, Spencer, you're dead to me.
Oh, no.
may he rest in hell.
Whoa. Wow. You don't say that, okay?
It's my show, our show. I'll say what I want.
It's my our show. Shut up.
But I think that's pretty much wraps it up. Do you have any final statements there, Super Feast Cake?
Not really. I will say that I have put I have something stuck in my throat. I can't get it out. I'm probably going to like pack up my lungs for 3 hours after this. But
you should put them back.
Well, yeah, I'll search and simulator that shit. The podcast is up on all popular platforms. I'm waiting to hear back from Stitcher. It's supposed to, it takes a few days for it to go through Stitcher, but it went through iTunes. So it basically, since it's on iTunes, you can pretty much get it on like any other app you can possibly get podcast on. Mm-hmm. We will have the second episode. I will have that up on Wednesday. I'm going to try to push for the same day that you guys release the video.
Yeah, we're going to release the video on Wednesday as well.
Yeah, so that way you guys have more time to like listen to the thing, because we were thinking of originally doing a Friday one, but then that only gives you like really like essentially like a day and a half or so to really listen to before the next episode.
Yeah, and it's so far after the initial recording date. And you know, when events were new.
I'll have that up for Wednesday so everybody can see it then. It's got a Facebook, Content Complete on Facebook. It's got a giant double CC.
So you can head on over to our Facebook page and keep up to date with events or what we're talking about. And I guess we'll probably start to make posts in regards to particular news that we, you know, as far as updates for topics that we were covering, it's probably something that we would want to provide and include for the future.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah. All right. I like the way you think. All right.
Okay.
But that's it for me. My sign-offs, are we doing the, yeah, I guess we're doing the sign-off shit. Okay. We're doing that.
We're doing it.
Okay. So I stream Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'll be finishing up Resident Evil 7 this week. If you can't catch me on that, you can always tweet me at SuperFistCake. And also on YouTube this week, I'm going to start releasing my highlights. I just started editing them today because my first video last Monday didn't really go so well because it was so laggy and jumpy. Mm-hmm. But So Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, you can get 5 minute highlight reels of episodes from before.
Awesome.
And get more content that way. And you can just watch it for real quick 5 minutes. See I'll put things I find funny. I'll put little quick tips that I put in there for you guys to see or for something for you guys to learn from.
And if you watch him on the live stream, you might be included in those highlight videos. You never know.
Oh yeah. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to everybody. I mean, I've only had like one person talk to me, but hey, you know.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. Bring your party. Bring your friends. Bring your fucking dog. I don't care. Hang out with me. Trying to think of what else. I think that's it for old Super Fist Cake for now.
Well, of course, also the Twitter account.
Oh, yeah, I said that earlier. If you want to talk to me, you can always... I'm usually on at Super Fist Cake. I'm also on player.me under Fist Cake. If people even use that on here. I don't know if anybody else uses that. Yeah. I know you guys do. I know you guys put the channel stuff on there, so...
Yeah, I did originally.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Might have to update that.
Yeah, that's all my information. Hope to hear from you guys soon.
Yeah, absolutely. And as far as we're concerned, you can catch us. I mean, if you're already watching us on stream, you know, Neanderthal Gaming TV. If you want to see any of our YouTube series, we're coming out with that Hollow Knight series as well over on Neanderthal Gaming TV on YouTube. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, Neanderthal GTV. You can stay tuned for any updates in regards to when videos come out or when we're doing the stream or, you know, create a conversation about any recent events in the game industry. Do you have any particular comments, Matt, that you want to make about that?
No, I don't.
We're good.
Oh, wait. One more thing on my part. Once I get 50 followers on Twitch, I'm going to do a Steam key giveaway or like a Steam gift card giveaway, I guess. I'll buy a game up to $60 for a random subscriber.
Like
a full game that way, so somebody else can like give incentive for you guys to at least watch my stuff, because I mean I buy games all the time. I can just not buy myself a game for a month, I guess. Ugh.
But you can buy all your cheap games on
once I get 50 subscribers.
Oh god.
Oh no.
How about stay the fuck away from that place? Maybe, like,
maybe Humble Bundle or something else, but no, up to $60, whatever game you want. Okay, that's it for me. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No. I mean, that's great. That's a good announcement. Definitely head on over and check that out. So maybe you can be a part of that.
Yeah. Who doesn't want a free fucking game?
Alrighty.
Not me.
All right. You don't? Okay. All right.
Well, don't buy it for Spencer. Buy it for me.
Oh, guy, come on, guys. You gotta split it. One of you's got to play the first half of the game, and the other one's got to play the second half of the game.
I want Nier Automata.
Automata Tomato.
Auto Potato.
Yeah, how do you even pronounce that?
Automata.
Is it Automata?
Yeah,
I don't remember what I was saying.
You were saying Nier Automata?
I wasn't saying Automata.
What were you saying?
I made that joke, but no, I think I said...
Automata?
Automata.
Automata, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Nobody knows.
We'll find out on the next episode of Content Complete.
See you guys next time.
Bye.
Hey guys, this is Matt and Spencer from Neanderthal Gaming TV, and we just wanted to thank you for listening in on the Content Complete podcast.
If you want to catch us live, you can see us at twitch.tv/NeanderthalGamingTV at 5 p.m. Central Time. The live stream artwork and the intro is done by us at Neanderthal Gaming TV. The editing for the audio version of the podcast is done by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Super Fistcake, who also runs the Facebook page at facebook.com/contentcomplete. So check us out there too if you want.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, share it with your friends. If you want to hear some more, you can find us and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. We'll talk to you guys next time.
Peace.